Hello and welcome to the Musicals and Theatre podcast. I'm Alice Arnold. And in this series, we're going to focus on the holy grail of theatre, the Olivier Awards. If you enjoy the podcast, then a reminder that you might like to listen to my show on Mellow Magic on Saturday and Sunday mornings from 6 till 10. Hello and welcome to the Musicals and Theatre podcast. And I'm talking this week to Julian Bird, who is the executive producer of the Olivier Awards, which are, of course, on the 9th of April. And in this podcast, we're going to concentrate on the Straight Drama Awards. So talking about the nominations, it looks to me like the Harry Potter play is the La La Land of the Olivier Awards. It's got 11 nominations. Are we thinking it's going to sweep the board, or are we thinking maybe it won't?
Well, I have no idea. You know, voting is underway. We'll find out on the night. I mean, look, it's an extraordinary production, or I should say productions. It's in two parts. You know, I always describe it as possibly the best pure theatre you can see. You know, although there's, you know, some clever magic and some clever things, at its heart, it's just a very, very good story, very, very well told by an extraordinary group of actors. You know, very few productions get 11 nominations. You have to go back to the musical Hairspray some time ago
for the
last show that got 11. And these are the only two shows that have ever had 11 nominations. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, you know, but, you know, look at the Oscars. La La Land may have got all those nominations, but it didn't win the big award at the end of the night. You know, and Harry Potter will want the best new play, and we'll see on the night.
Well, there's strong competition. Of course, there is in all the categories.
There is very strong competition.
And I notice in the category of best supporting role, and we have this in the musicals category. We've got all the women from the girls musical up together, and now we've got all the girls from Our Ladies of Perpetual Succor, which is based on the novel The Sopranos and follows a group of Catholic schoolgirls. And could the group just not be separated apart?
No, that really is an ensemble kind of cast, if you like. This production started in Scotland, the National Theatre of Scotland. And they're a group of relatively young Scottish actresses. Most of them have never performed in London before. And the whole show is sort of an ensemble piece. And once again, the producers wanted to put them forward as a group, and that was respected. And, you know, our theatre panel felt that was the right thing to do. And so, you know, the eight of them are put forward collectively. Quite some achievement.
And well, if they win, they'll be surging onto the stage.
Yes, indeed. They'll be one of those rushes for the stage. Yes. That's right, yeah.
I haven't actually seen that show, but there are songs in it, aren't there?
Sing? It's a play with music, is how they describe it, rather than a musical. So it's a comedy with music in it, that's right.
Right. Yeah. So that takes it out of the musicals category and puts it into the plays.
How the writers describe it themselves is a play with music or a comedy with music.
Now, this is a nomination that I love, because there was quite a lot of controversy over the casting of Hermione Granger in Harry Potter, and it seems that Noma Dumezweni has well and truly silenced the critics with her nomination.
Absolutely. I mean, Noma is an extraordinary actress. She is an Olivier winner from the past. So, you know, this is someone who has been well known in the theatre community. You know, just possibly this role is bringing her to a wider kind of public consciousness. She's an extraordinary actress. And makes the role of Hermione her own. And there she is in an extraordinary company, nominated in the kind of leading actress category.
You couldn't believe that there was controversy over it, but I suppose...
We call it in the theatre industry, it's called colourblind casting. And, you know, you only have to go and see actually Noma in the role to think, well, what's the fuss about?
Anyway. Now, in the best actor in a supporting role, we've got Ralph Spall for Hedda Gabler. It seems at the moment everything Ralph touches really turns to gold. So what did you think of his performance in
that? It's wonderful. So this is a brand new revival production of Hedda Gabler at the National Theatre from this visionary director, Ivo van Hove, who you may remember has won awards for the last few years for kind of reinterpreting classics in a completely different way. And once again, this is a big different interpretation on a kind of quite stark, kind of long, thin, linear set in modern dress. And as you said, you know, Ralph is, suddenly having this extraordinary career, isn't he? You know, both on film and television. and in the theatre. And I think it was great to see him recognised, actually. He's been nominated in the past for Olivier's, hasn't won yet, so we'll see this year.
See if this can be a first for him. Yeah. And also sort of another acting dynasty, really, a huge acting dynasty, the Fox family.
We've got
Freddie Fox nominated. He seems to be really, well, his career's taken off as soon as he left drama school, really, but he seems to be blossoming.
He really is, I think, in a number of roles, and he's nominated for, you know, the revival of Tom Stoppard's Travesties. He's had an extraordinary year, you know, because about a year ago, he did Romeo and Juliet in Sheffield, you know, just in the Shakespeare production up there. And then some people will remember Kenneth Branagh did Romeo and Juliet as part of his London season, and Richard Madden, the lead, got very ill. He twisted an ankle or broke an ankle or something. And Freddie ended up stepping into the role in the production after it had opened and doing the last few weeks of it to get them through. So Freddie's had this kind of extraordinary year of roles. So how great at the end of it to see him recognised, I think. Mm-hmm.
And looking at the Best Actor nominations, well, we've got Ian McKellen for No Man's Land. We've got Tom Hollander for Travesties, Ed Harris and Jamie Parker. And I suppose, I mean, these are massive stars, really known, but apart from Jamie Parker, perhaps not so much known for film roles, but the others. Yeah. It's wonderful that those film and television actors who are massive stars still want to do theatre in London.
And we see this time and time again. You know, I think it's one of the great things that our great actors and actresses and creative talents actually all want to continue to come back to what most of them talk about as their first love, the theatre. Yeah. You know, we also give the special award this year to Kenneth Branagh, and he very openly talks about theatre being in his bones. It's the thing he loves the most, even though he's off doing movies and stuff all the time. And, you know, how great that people like Ian McKellen and Ed Harris want to still come back and spend weeks doing theatre.
Doing 8 shows a week. Yeah. It's really hard work compared, yeah, I guess, to although I think filming's very hard work, probably quite boring.
And, you know, you say Jamie, you know, even Jamie Parker is having, you know, a massive career now. Started, of course, as one of the History Boys.
Yes.
And is now,
you know,
what amazing shoes to step in as Harry Potter when everyone has a vision of what Harry Potter... It's like, mainly they think that Harry Potter is Daniel Radcliffe, and I'm not sure most people can make a distinction. Mm. But, you know, how amazing to step into that role as an older Harry Potter and make it your own and be recognised in this way.
We're talking about older people. Of course, there is a nomination in the Best Actress category, which cannot be ignored, which is Glenda Jackson. She's 80 now. Nominated for King Lear. I mean, how amazing is it to see her back on the stage?
Her last nomination was over 30 years, 36 years ago. Mm. I might get my facts slightly wrong, 36, 37 years ago. It's her first roll back on the stage in decades after an extraordinary career as a politician. And there she goes and gets nominated, you know. I mean, what absolutely extraordinary, you know. And, you know, in all these acting categories, how wonderful, I think, that we have people of all ages, all backgrounds, from different kind of ranges of work. And to see them all sort of recognised together, I think, is a wonderful thing and shows a lot about the strength of theatre and the acting profession here in the UK at the moment, I think.
Yes, I should imagine there'd be quite an ovation if Glenda Jackson wins that category.
You know, but you know, there are other, you know, Noma we've talked about, you know, yeah, but you know,
Billy Piper.
I know Billy Piper for an extraordinary production of Yerma, another revival at the Young Vic, which was set in this kind of big glass cube. And then, of course, you know, the fourth one on the list is an actress much less known here in the UK, but of course is one of the major Tony winners of all time, Cherry Jones. Who, you know, how great, this is her first role in the West End and audiences are really getting to see her as an actress. And she's an extraordinary performer. And, you know, her first role here in the West End and she's nominated, you know, amazing.
Now, looking at the Best Director category, we have John Tiffany, he's up twice. So he's got a 50-50 chance of winning. he's up for two really different productions. So he's up for Harry Potter, he's also up for The Glass Menagerie. Mm. I haven't seen his work, so...
Well, John Tiffany came to infamy, I think is the right word, through this extraordinary production called Black Watch, which was about the army unit in Scotland in the Iraq War. And that was an extraordinary kind of immersive production, which ended up going globally and winning awards, but winning critical acclaim everywhere. And he's just gone on and... created some extraordinary work, and he works also with a choreographer called Stephen Hoggett, often the two of them together, and indeed they both worked on both these productions. And John really is a sort of visionary who takes kind of ideas and concepts and does something different with them. And you know, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, it's very easy to look back in hindsight and go, well, of course it was going to be a success. Actually, a lot of people were going, how brave to take something that people love so much, make a new story and do it on stage.
I mean, that's a risk, actually, because you could be asking for a fall.
It was a huge risk, and you just look at the quality of that production. Whether you like Harry Potter or not as a story and a set of stories, the quality on that stage is quite amazing. And then you go and see The Glass Menagerie, where he's taken a, you know, an old play and revived it in a completely new way in this extraordinary setting with Bob Crowley's design. It's a kind of stunning piece of theatre in its own right.
Now, looking at the new play nominations, and the Donmar Warehouse is nominated twice for Elegy and One Night in Miami. And I just wondered, how important is it that houses like the Donmar are prepared to take risks and put on new writing?
Well, enormous. And how extraordinary, you know, that a small theatre like the Donmar gets 2 out of 4 in that category, you know. Yeah. And for 2 very, very different plays, you know. One, Elegy, about really about age and about people who lose their memory, whether that's dementia or Alzheimer's, and how the people around them react. 70-minute play, and it was one of, you know, it stands. I can remember almost every minute of it. It was that powerful. And then a play basically about Muhammad Ali and as he was in his younger years, with the team that was around him, called One Night in Miami. So, you know, 2 completely different productions, new plays, both recognised.
And I think it's important sometimes that we still have smaller spaces like the Donmar for that kind of really intimate theatre to be able to break through.
Absolutely, and to do that, you know, and they're just about to open a new political play about called Limehouse, about, you know, the birth of the SDP, which is going to be fascinating as well. Okay. So, you know, the Donmar under Josie Walke and Kate Pakenham have very much become a theatre where new plays can experiment and try, as well as great revivals happening. So,
and of course, it's an exciting time there. The best talent to be there.
Yeah, as do lots of our other theatres. You know, I mean, you know, people will always talk about, well, so and so didn't get nominated, and you know, that unfortunately, that is the nature of awards. You know, there is some choice somewhere, and people are selective. But you know, they're a great. We're blessed with extraordinary theatre in this city, and you know, the Donmar is one of them.
Now I'd like to have a chat about the winners of the Be Inspired competition.
Yeah, so the whole kind of way we're describing the Oliviers this year is around inspiration. You know, how does theatre inspire you? Does it inspire a love in other people? And so what we wanted to do was actually offer members of the public and people in the theatre world the chance to nominate anyone in their life who had inspired a love of theatre or a love of performance or something like that. In them, and we were, I mean, literally inundated with the most extraordinary submissions. And we've chosen just 6. I wish we could have chosen hundreds, yeah, but, you know, we've chosen 6. So.
And the 6 winners, they get to come to the Oliviers on April the 9th at the Royal Albert Hall, which
they
is
get
incredible.
A full,
they get a full VIP. They go on the red carpet and everything,
yeah,
don't
they? Get the full VIP experience.
Wow.
So they're going to be styled. They're going to get to stay in our partner hotel for the night, which is the Rosewood, in a beautiful 5-star hotel near Holborn.
And they get makeup and hair and all of that.
A little bit of all that kind of thing. And as you said, then get to do on the red carpet, and they will be actually part of the new red carpet TV show we're doing, the big broadcast show on the red carpet, where they will actually get given their kind of plaques as to recognise them as champions.
For them.
Yeah, and then they get to see and sit in great seats and watch the whole show. So, yeah.
And how did you choose them out of all the people who entered?
The honest answer is with great difficulty. And, you know, we could have chosen so many. So, first of all, you know, thank you to all the Magic listeners, everybody else who submitted people, because the most, you know, actually incredibly inspiring for us to sit there and look at the videos and read all the messages that were sent. But, you know, we've chosen people from different backgrounds, different walks of life, 3 who are, you know, firmly employed, if you like, within the theatre world one way or the other.
And yes, I've just seen Harry Gabriel, who's been the stage doorman at the Shaftesbury Theatre for 35 years. He must have seen some things.
I bet he has. Yes. Absolutely. I mean, he's an extraordinary man. You know, I've been honoured to meet him several times going in and out of the theatre. And I think, you know, the entire company put him forward. We had messages galore from current company, Motown, that's there now, other people who'd worked there over the years. One of the Motown company made the most extraordinary little video nominating him, which was, it was just really special. So him, the lady who's the costume supervisor for the Mousetrap, who's been there for 15 years.
Do they change the costumes?
Janet, yes, they do.
Do they?
Yeah, they recast about every 9 months. And so there's a whole
but
recostuming.
With different costumes.
I believe so, yes. But she has taken the original costume designs from, I'm going to get this wrong now and get told off, 62, 63 years ago, and has lovingly recreated them for, you know, the new casts. So, and she's been there for 15 years. So I'm kind of extraordinary and wonderful to recognise that kind of skill, that kind of technical ability that often people don't really think about, I think, in our shows. And then, of course, the third kind of industry one, if you like, is this amazing man called Edwin Shaw. He won't mind me saying, I think he's in his early 80s and, you know, was the box office manager of the London Palladium for decades and still consults widely with producers and helps them on ticketing, you know. And if you think ticketing now, I must ask him sometime when he started to what ticketing's like now. And
absolutely.
Booking online and everything, it's completely different.
Well, he's going to have a fantastic night. I wonder what hair and makeup
I was going to say,
him.
I wonder what they'll do for him.
Yeah. And then we've got some people who are not in the industry at all or...
Correct, yeah, three genuine people, each in their own way, have inspired a love of theatre in people in different ways. So this wonderful drama teacher who works, I guess, at what you might call a specialist school for children who have different learning abilities and disabilities, called Stuart Clements, and extraordinary tales of what he's done and brought people... you know, into a love of theatre and into a love of performance, maybe who would never have even thought about it before. You know, perhaps the most difficult one for us, for everyone, is this extraordinary woman called Sally Ann Coleman, who has, you know, given her life to performing and choreography and directing with this extraordinary youth theatre. And very sadly, she was diagnosed with cancer not very long ago. And actually, when we... you know, phone to say we'd chosen her. She had sadly passed away just the week before. But we're still absolutely honouring her on the night and her family are coming. So it's this kind of lovely way of still recognising the extraordinary kind of legacy, I guess, she's left behind of everything she's done.
Yeah, well, that'd be a very emotional night for all
I think
all
so,
of them.
But we're right that we continue, absolutely, you know. Yeah. And finally, you know, a man called Mark Thornburn, who has done extraordinary things in... Coventry in kind of light operetta with youth groups, but also an organisation called NODA, which is the kind of umbrella body for amateur theatrical in the UK. It's called the National Operatic and Dramatic Association. And he ran that for a very long time in his spare time as well. So he's kind of had this extraordinary impact on the life of the amateur sector, if you like, for theatre. So, you know, six very, very different people, but all of whom have done extraordinary things.
Oh, well, I'm sure they're hugely looking forward to the night, as are we all. And look forward to seeing you there, Julie.
Indeed, indeed.
I'm Alice Arnold, and that was the Musicals and Theatre Podcast. If you enjoyed that, then you can hear me every Saturday and Sunday morning from 6 till 10 on Mellow Magic, where I've lots of lovely, timeless, relaxing classics, musical numbers, and interviews.